Hey, it's Brent Smith, and welcome to BSL Insider Radio. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Izzy, but he's better known as the 30-year-old ninja. What is the 30-year-old ninja? Well, Izzy, the former teacher who quit his job to pursue an absurd dream to become a ninja. Back in 2009, he was in the midst of a master's program, working his way up the leadership pipeline, and pretty much had it all made as far as resume bullet points go. But there was one slight problem. He hated his job and the direction of his life. So he made a change, a massive change. Over the course of 4 years, he quit his job, moved to Japan, and now he trains extensively in martial arts. He's 30 years old, and he's trying to become a ninja. It might sound crazy, absurd, or even strange, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is that he's doing it. He had a dream, and now he's living it. Welcome, Izzy. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be able to do this.
Well, I'm excited to meet a ninja in training, actually. This is the first time for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's the next level. We've never had a ninja in our midst at this point, so people are really going to love it.
Continue.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have you share some insider secret ninja secrets. So people can go out of the phone.
Totally.
They'll have some ninja trivia. Then they can go back and tell people the next day. So, Izzy, I love your background. It's such a fascinating story, and it's such an inspirational story for people to actually live their dreams and realize that anything is possible. There is nothing that is not possible. If you're committed and you follow your dreams. And so I think it'd be wonderful if you could just, you know, share your story and kind of how, you know, where you came from and where you are right now.
Yeah. The first thing I always have to throw out is, because I get credit for being a ninja, and what I always first say is, I'm not yet a ninja. I'm in pursuit of it. So I'm trying to become a ninja. So I'll start with that. So my background, I'm a former middle school teacher from America. Out of college, I did this program called Teach for America, where you commit to teach in the inner city. And in my fourth year teaching, I was in the middle of getting my master's degree in education, soon to be qualified to run my own school. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Like, why am I doing this? I was depressed, anxious, stressed, overwhelmed, so I was forced to begin asking, like, what do I really want to do with my life? And it was really difficult because up until that point, my identity was always, well, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I change small children's lives. And it felt good to be able to say that to the outside world, but I was just so overwhelmed. And so after some intense soul searching, reaching out to people, and really reflecting on it, I realized, I would often joke around. I'd say, people say, what do you want to do with your life, Izzy? And I go, I want to be a ninja. And over time, I started really exploring. Like, why do I always say this? Like, what does that even mean? What is a ninja? And I came up with three specific things. A ninja moves to a faraway land. A ninja trains extensively in martial arts and challenges the traditional rules of work and life. And over the course of 4 years, this is what I've done. You know, I now live in Kyoto, Japan. Very historical, beautiful area. I train in Aikido about 25 hours per week, over 1,000 hours over the next year, and I've completely quit my career in education. I am never going back. Yeah.
A different kind of education now.
Yes.
Ninja education.
Yes. Yeah, it's definite. Yeah, it's different. But the teaching is still there, because I do have a blog, you know, the 30-year-old ninja, where I share my story. And I realized that that aspect, and sharing my journey, sharing my story, and helping inspire other people to follow their dreams, the teaching aspect still is there, but it's in a very different avenue. So
yeah, totally. You're coaching. You have a coaching program, and we were just discussing it earlier that you're actually helping, you're inspiring people and helping them to live their dreams while you're living yours, which is very powerful because you're being it. You're being someone who's actually, you know, in ninja school, and then you're teaching others how to do that as well. And of course, you've had a long journey so far, and made lots of mistakes and had lots of insights and aha moments. And I think it's fascinating. Your blog's great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that I really believe is you got to be it. It's just exactly what you guys believe. You know, if you're guys, you know, giving, helping and inspiring others, and the only way you can give, help, and inspire others is if you are already doing it. You must be it. And so as I've gone on this journey in the pursuit of my dream, I've become, you know, knowledgeable about the pursuit of a dream, the psychological barriers, the daily challenges, the daily discipline, the fulfillment and joy I get from it. And so it has become an opportunity for me to give back to the world. And it's just, I mean, it's fascinating to me that, you know, I look back at it 3-4 years ago, if I'm going to move to a foreign country and become a ninja, like, how am I going to financially support that? How can I even do that? And just in following what I wanted to do, some crazy dream, it's all of a sudden opened up into this business and into a way to truly impact lives. And really, this is way more powerful than when I was educating children back in the United States, though I never could have imagined that it would be. That's very fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also had to overcome a lot of excuses, and you had to choose it, and you had to open yourself up to finding a way instead of saying, oh, I can't because there's no way this would happen. And a lot of people go through that same, you know, thing in life. They're always, you know, what do you want? Well, I want to do this. Why don't you have it? Why aren't you doing it? Well, because, and then the list of excuses comes out. And what they don't realize is if they just open themselves up to the possibility that there is a way, there's always a way, then not only would they find that, but oftentimes the way will find them. And that's really powerful. So, you know, maybe you can talk a little bit about, excuses, you know, mistakes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know you like talking about that.
Oh, boy, do I. It's all part of the journey. I think probably one of the most powerful experiences for me was once I was in Japan, and I started to realize that there's an excuse for everything. There's always a reason to not do it, which essentially means that if I'm ever going to do something, I can accept no excuse, because there's always a reason not to. So if I'm going to accept one excuse, I have to accept all excuses. But the flip side is the same, which, well, that means if I'm going to do it, I have to accept no excuses. And I think a lot of people use the details as a cop-out, as an easy way to justify to themselves, like, oh, well, I can't do it because of money. Oh, well, you know, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, oh, you know, well, I need to be more educated to do it. Or I need to be more qualified. I need to have more background. It's like, actually, all you need to do is two things. You need to know where you want to go, and you need to identify the first step. You can't get to step two until you take step one. Worry about step 98 when you get after you finish step 97. And today, because I can take step one. And that was, I think, one of the big things along this whole journey that I've learned is, I mean, if I were, you know, 3-4 years ago to go back and be like, oh, I'm going to move to the surf capital of Japan, Kyoto, and train in martial arts 20 hours a week and start a blog and get thousands of people to come visit it and build a business, that would have overwhelmed me. But really all it started with was, well, can I find a job in Japan? And that was like, let me do a Google search. That was, you know, step one, Google it. And, and then, you know, step two, step three, step four, you go from there.
Well, it's fascinating too. When I was listening to your TED talk, which was fantastic, about how when you got over there and you were teaching, you still weren't able to follow your dream of being a ninja, and then you had to make another decision on what to do about that. And I love for you to talk about that and following your dreams and the choices you had to make, because that was another part of it. You weren't really where you were at that point. It was just another step on your journey, and you had to make a pretty decisive decision, which was another part. Maybe you can just go on that.
Yeah. So what happened is I made the decision to leave teaching in October of 2009, finished out that year, and then took me about 2 years from there to get to Japan. So August 2011, I get to Japan, and it's like, wow, I'm living my dream, I'm following my dream, I'm in Japan. The job I got placed me in the countryside where there was a ton of rice fields and no martial arts dojos. And my job was a straight-up joke. I mean, it was basically, I have a master's degree in education. I'm qualified to run my own school in America. I've taught in some of the most challenging schools in the inner city, the lower income communities, many problems, and here I am in Japan, and my responsibility was, Izzy Sensei, here is the textbook. Read those words and have the students repeat it. And it was like, this is what I'm doing. And there's no martial arts dojo, so here I am in the countryside of Japan, so reading English words out of a textbook and struggling with language barriers because virtually no one in the community speaks any English, and a lot of rice fields, and it's like, what do? I came here to follow this crazy dream, quit my career in America. And at the time, I thought it's only two options, that I'm like, okay, well, I can stay with this job and stay in Japan, or I could leave the job and leave Japan. But the problem with both of those is that I'm not following my dream. If I stay in that town, stay with the job, then there's no martial arts dojos. I'm not becoming a ninja. If I leave the job and leave Japan, then I'm quitting completely on the dream. And another aspect to this, the whole thing, is that to the outside world, everyone, I call my friends back home and everyone, they already thought I was following my dream. They were already like, wow, you're doing it. Oh, it's so amazing. But inside, I felt like a fraud because I wasn't. I wasn't doing martial arts. I wasn't doing what I came here to do. So it really required a lot of honesty on my part to just be real with myself, be like, nah, you're not doing it, and you need to be real about that. So I began to explore it and ask myself, well, what do I really want to do? Why did I come here in the first place? So well, I came here to do martial arts. And once again, in my head, it's like, yeah, but, you know, but how am I going to do that? I mean, they don't have any in this town, and how can I deal with that? And then finally, one day it clicked. I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave this job and stay in Japan. I'm going to find a martial arts dojo that I want to train at, and I'm going to move to that city. I don't care. Like, I'm going to deal with visa issues, language barriers, moving to a new city, finding part-time work. I don't care. I'm going to make this happen. And that's when I also developed the idea for the 30-year-old ninja blog, where I'm going to share this with the world. I'm going to take this all to the next level. I'm going all in, and nothing's going to stop me. And that's when I began taking the daily steps to make it happen. And I started to share the journey, share the story. And really, and that's what it came down to, was daily action. You know, and there was a lot of times when I had to remind myself. I always remind myself. I'd be like, well, wait, how am I going to deal with moving? I don't know how I'm going to move. It's like, no. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about moving yet. Like, let's just focus on first apartment. Like, maybe find the martial arts dojo. Where do you want to train? Okay. Like, okay, now that's where you want to train. Go visit the city. Did that. That's where you want to train. Okay. Now begin to ask that next question. It's one step, one day at a time.
I love it. That's great.
Nice. What are you willing to do? Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
What are you willing to do? What is it you want to do? And, you know, what is it you're willing up to get it? We always talk about that. You know, what are you willing to do?
What are you willing to give up? Like your attachment to the fact that, you know, to your belief that there's no way, or that, you know, you don't know how you're going to move. You have all these attachments to your excuses and giving those up. So what are you, it's willingness, really. That's the power of willingness.
I would love to throw this question your guys' way, because it's something that I'm always interested in, is the idea of, so where does that come from? You know, willingness. Because willingness, the willingness to do whatever it takes. So why do some people have it and some people don't? I mean, what is that? Is it an X factor? I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think we're brainwashed to only be willing to do certain things, and then we're also brainwashed to believe that, yes, there are other people who can do even more amazing things, but, you know, they have some kind of special talent, or some kind of special IQ, some high IQ, or they're good looking, or they have a lot of resources. Of course, they would be willing to do that. But, you know, me as the average person, you know, I'm willing to do this and so on. And we're taught to be afraid of risk and rejection, and we're taught to seek comfort and security, as opposed to because we're told that that's kind of how you get through life, the safe way, rather than seeking uncomfortableness, which is where, you know, the three of us know all massive growth happens outside your comfort zone. But most people don't understand that. They've never been told that concept even. So, and I think the willingness, I think there's even more power in willingness than willingness gets credit for, if that makes sense. Because I think there's a lot of things that if you're willing to do, you don't actually have to do them, but the fact that you were willing and you were in that energy or that vibration or whatever you want to call it, that state, let's call it, of mind, things will come to you. Ways will find you, like I said before. And I think the willingness is huge. And it doesn't get talked about a lot. We talk about giving things up, giving up your attachment, do it, want it, be, you know, go after it, but willingness. Very, very powerful. So that's my insight on it.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think it's an empowering thing because anyone can do that. And I think that's a great thing too. All these limiting beliefs and attachments, and people always feel like they can't get things done. And the reality is just like you doing what you did, anyone can do anything, right? Any dream is possible if you actually are committed to the process and are committed to getting it done and are willing to go on that journey.
If you're willing to consider that it's possible, I mean, that's a simple way of being willing, right? You're willing to think of it a new way. And like you said before, Izzy, is that, you know, your automatic tapes play in your head where you start spitting out excuses why it can't happen. You're gathering all this evidence for why it can't happen. When you caught yourself and said, no, stop that. I'm going to start gathering evidence for why it can happen, and I'm going to start with one step, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really just, you know, having the kind of the guts to take responsibility for your life at that moment instead of blaming anything or anyone outside of you and make the change and consider a new perspective and consider a new way of doing things. And that, what if it were possible, you know? And it's, you know, instead of it's not possible because, it just becomes it is possible because. And it's that simple wording change there.
Yes.
But no one thinks of it because it's almost too simple, you know, on the complete other side of it, right? Like everyone tries to make everything really complicated. Well, it must be really complicated if you're going to go over there and become a ninja. When really, in reality, I'll say that the concept is simple. Implementing it may not be easy for most people, but the concept is simple. Change the wording, change your story to yourself, and do the things we're talking about, be it, and then – you know, and then have it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really, I love the question. I mean, I guess the question that I love, and I mean, you're saying the exact same thing pretty much is, you know, what if it is possible? Or what I like to always tell myself is, it's possible. I just have to figure out how. I mean, right now, I just don't know how. But I need, so that doesn't mean I quit. It means my first step is to figure out how. And I think that's always something that's I'm always fascinated and bothered by at the same time when people say, like, well, I just don't know what I want to do with my life. And then they leave it at that. I don't know what I want to do with my life, so I'm going to do nothing. That makes no sense at all to me. Where it really should be, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Okay, well, then the first step is, okay, I'm going to figure out what I want to do with my life. Turn it into a question.
Yeah.
Yes. Easy to stay the victim. And people love
the very powerful. Well, you know what? We always tell people, choose something. Just choose something. Right? Choose something. You know? And you all, when I was reading your stuff, you always say it's your choice. But choose something. I don't know what it would be. I can't decide. You know what? Stop. Choose something. Right? What's your wildest dream? What's the thing that you don't think will be that you could make money at? I don't care how crazy, if it's a hobby you have or some kind of thing you're intrigued by. What is it? Choose something. And then again, you figure out how to implement that and what the next step is. Choosing is, people are all caught up in the reasons that they choose rather than just choosing because they choose. You know, just choose something.
Yes.
You don't have to make excuses for why you choose it. Just choose it. You choose to do it or choose to not do it. That's it.
I mean, that's great. I love that. I think one of the things really powerful for me was when I began to realize, and it was after reading some things and hearing some things, was that if I do nothing under the guise of, well, you know, I just don't know, I'm not ready, I'm not going to make a choice yet, then I am making a choice. I'm choosing to do nothing.
And yes.
To not make a choice
exactly.
is a choice. And
it's yes.
So powerful. I mean, it's so powerful to realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is a choice. Right? People are just seem to somehow they're victimized somehow. And I mean, and
yeah.
we're not talking about people who are tragically victimized here. We're just talking about in general the problems that people think they have that they don't choose, they actually choose. And so they choose not to get out of the situation. They choose not to move forward, to not change their life, to not take responsibility, to not be willing, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, and that's another choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I just had a coaching call with a coaching client, and one of the big things that we could talk about here is story creation. And I was like, and usually one of the problem, the first questions I have is, are you doing your story every day? Are you, you know, doing things to positively propel yourself going forward? And he's like, no, I only do it like 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm like, well, why? And he's like, well, I'm having problems staying motivated. And he says, well, how do I motivate myself? And I was like, you're making a choice. You know, choose to be motivated. Choose to be committed. Mm-hmm. Choose to, create an extraordinary life. It's your choice. You're making a choice to not do it or do it. It's not like there's something mysterious out there that's controlling you like marionette strings. These are all, you have freedom. You are in control. You are the cause, not the effect. And stop thinking like that, because that is your major undoing. And in the reality is that you still are making that choice, just like what we're talking about. That is just...
Wow. Yeah, you can talk yourself into practically anything. And you're doing it when you're saying that you can't do it, that you're talking yourself into that. That's you. You created that identity, you know? So it's always that story thing of, oh, I'm always tired and I'm not motivated. I don't want to get off my couch. Really? Well, then get off your couch. Make a different decision. Make a different choice. Choose to believe that you want to get off your couch. You know, they're always waiting for some outside force to propel them. Again, it's like, oh, you know, you don't understand my situation. It's different. You don't understand where I come from and all this kind of stuff. Like there's some, like you're like alone on this island when everybody else is feeling the same way. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many things that you guys said there that were just awesome. I love the idea of, you know, you are the cause, not the effect. And that's just a beautiful line in and of itself. But also, one of the things, and this bothers me, is people often view motivation as like the holy grail, the God. You know, it's like, oh, if I was just motivated.
Yes.
And I think that motivation is a consequence. Motivation isn't the cause, it's an effect. And so with me, on a day-to-day basis, I just go do it. Just do it.
Yes.
And then over time, motivation is like, when motivation strikes, oh, that's just awesome. That's just incredible, because then I can run with it and roll with it. But I can't sit on my couch and do nothing and expect motivation to strike, because I'm not practicing anything that will bring motivation. I'm practicing sitting on a couch doing nothing, which means I'm actually practicing demotivating myself. And so it's very, when people are like, well, I just do it if I was motivated. It's like, that's like saying, I would go to the gym if I had a six-pack. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm interested in this concept, you know, this concept of your story. Would you mind elaborating a little bit on that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking
about? Brent, why don't you tell? We talk about this because your story is really the foundational thing that we work with everyone on, and we realize that if they don't have their story done in a process and in a correct way, everything else kind of gets them off in a negative direction, or they can't seem to propel themselves forward, because they're sending all these negative messages and they're not really focused. Maybe Brent, you can go into it, because we got a whole process on this, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, when I say, you know, what's your story? Like, what's your deal? What's your life like? And then you tell me, and you tell me full of all the things you are having problems with and can't do. What people don't realize is thinking that and saying that is just cementing it into your reality. And so one of the things we ask people to do is just change your story. So, you know, write that out. We tell them, write that out. And then do an exercise where you write the positive opposite of that. So you write your story as if you had all that handled. What would your life be like that? And do it in the present tense. So, you know, I have wonderful things in my life. I'm very motivated. I get up every day and I have a ton of energy, and I go out and I'm willing to do this, and I'm willing to look at things as possible and so on. And it's just this really incredibly powerful thing. Your story controls your life. And so people get in a rut and they don't realize that repeating all those complaints that they have, to whether it's the self-loathing and they're sitting around feeling sorry for themselves, or whether they're telling their friends and family and complaining through email, all that is creating their life in the moment they're doing those things. But they just think they're venting, but what they need to do immediately is change their story. If they change their story, their life will start changing. That's one of the very basis. I mean, we go back a little bit further, and we practice being grateful first. So when it starts, it's a process that we start as soon as someone wakes up in the morning. We say, instead of hitting, you know, doing the morning debate where you hit the, you know, the alarm three times because you don't want to get up, but you're kind of awake. And then you start thinking about all the crap you have to do that day and how you don't want to do it. And, no, I didn't do the thing from yesterday. And, oh, yeah, and I haven't called my mom in 8 weeks. You know, just anything that could happen in normal day life. Instead of doing that, we ask people to get in the habit of immediately upon awaking, making some positive statements, and then going into a grateful list. So it's like, you know, this is already another great day as usual. My life is extraordinary. I have a ton of energy. I'm so grateful that I have great health and great wealth and great family and great friends. And you can make up your own list, and it doesn't matter how long or how short it is. It's just kind of ask – you have to remind yourself how great your life actually is, so that as the reality of the daily life starts to kind of creep in, you have some ammunition. If you don't do that and you just go with your normal thing, which is, God, I don't want to get out of bed today. Oh, man, I have that meeting. Okay, it's you wonder why you're not inspired? Because you're the conversation you're having with yourself, whether it's just thoughts or whether you're talking out loud or whatever, or with someone else in the morning, it's creating your whole life. So we ask people to, you know, make some positive statements and be grateful. And the more you're grateful, the more the universe will give you to be grateful for. And then you go right into your story. And so you've changed your story from my life sucks, no one likes me, I can't get a job, I don't make any money, I'm horrible with the opposite sex, to I have an awesome job. I have tremendous success at work and with dating and romance and all that other kind of stuff in your life. My life is awesome. And we teach people to get really excited and really get into it as a state change. So story is incredibly powerful, the way we use it, to help people with their transformation. And if they really just change that story, and the other thing is that a lot of people will they know what I'm going to say to them when they tell me what's going on in their life. I'll say, change your story, right? Change your story. And they get sick of me hearing it, but it's so important, you know, because it's so simple, right? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but it seems ridiculous, right? Okay, I'm going to write out all my problems and I'm going to write them down as if I've already solved them. That's crazy because I haven't solved them. And then they go into that thing, right? Oh, well, I have no evidence and I'm lying to myself and yada, yada, yada. And so we also, teach people the concept of creating, and it is kind of related to everything I just said, but the basis of it is that every thought you think, every word you speak, and every word you write is creating your life and your destiny in the moments that you are doing those three things. And so if you will just be aware, practice being aware of that conversation, just that one even, your life will start to change immediately. And you can talk yourself into anything. Like I said earlier, I mean, really, I mean, you've already convinced yourself that you're living the life you're living now. You've created your identity now.
Yes.
Definitely it was based on, you know, things that happened to you and, you know, programming and social programming and brainwashing, all that kind of stuff. But that's the exciting thing, is that people have already are already master creators of their life, and they're already, you know, you've already done it. So all we're asking people to do is put different information in the machine you've already built. The same process will happen. What you obsess about, you know, will come true. Like if you obsess that you have no friends, you will still have no friends. If you obsess you have lots of friends, then you have lots of friends. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, and it's very simple, but, you know, people tend to want to overcomplicate that whole process. So that's basically story.
Wow. I think that is, to use a word I hear commonly in Japan, I would say that is epic.
Epic.
Yeah, epic. Yeah. It's common British English. But I think it's great. Well, a variety of reasons. First off, I love the gratitude. I love the gratitude. I have been reflecting a lot on, does gratitude bring success? That question. I walk and I reflect on it. And the more I think about it, the more I am sure that gratitude opens up immense amount of opportunities. For one, it allows me to love my daily life. But two, because I love my daily life, I am more creative. You know, are you a more creative person when you're depressed and happy, or when you're in love with life? Obviously, when you're in love with life. So that begins to open up those doors, and people feel it. So I'm more of a joy to be around, and I'm able to give more to the world. So the gratitude part is beautiful. What I'm kind of hearing is, you know, to change your story, and you have them, okay, well, let's write out what you want to be. One of the things when I was teaching is, okay, well, do I go in the classroom that day when the students are right there and begin, I open the textbook and I immediately start trying to go forward with the lesson, or do I spend a little bit of time before, you know, sitting down for a week or two and plan out the year? Where do I want to take the students? What should they learn by the end of the year? Okay, this is what they need to know. Okay, how am I going to get them there? Backwards planning. So it makes total logical sense. In life, I should ask, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Okay, now I know. Okay, how can I get there? What can I begin to do today to move there? Unfortunately, most people just wander aimlessly on a day-to-day basis, just moving forward, and then they end up shocked and surprised that they end up going nowhere.
Nowhere.
Well, and exactly. And, you know, just real quick, one last thing that I have to say about story, and then, Jace, you can kick in here, is that as you have done, when you add another level to story, a more powerful level to story, which is a lot of people think of story as telling themselves that they already have something, and that's based on their need that they want something they want to get. When you take your story to another level and you focus your story on what you're going to give and how you're going to inspire others, incredible things happen, and they happen quickly. And you've done the same thing, because even though it was about being a ninja, how do I do it? How do I get to be a ninja? Then you said, you switched it and said, well, how can I share this with the world and inspire others? That's the big shot in the arm. That's like the springboard right there. And so that's how we have supercharged the story process, is changing it from, you know, changing it from what can I get to what can I give. And then the byproduct of giving, helping, and inspiring, ironically, is that not only do you have what you originally wanted, you have a lot more of it, and sometimes it changes. What you want does change. And sometimes, often, it's brought to you with less effort than you would have previously had to put in. So it's really a powerful concept.
I mean, it's amazing. I love what you're saying, because it's so, I mean, so powerful and so incredible. When I began to share my journey, that's when everything changed for me. All of a sudden, my dream changed from, hey, I'm in Japan for me. Hey, I want to do this. Hey, my job doesn't give me any responsibility. Me, to all of a sudden it became much bigger, and it became growing on a daily basis. Also, I started writing and sharing And all of a sudden, you know, I'm starting to discover that people email me, hey, this is inspiring me, this is affecting me. And as time goes on, now what I say, and I feel this with all of my heart, my dream, like I am living this as proof to you, as proof to the world that it's possible. This isn't just about me. I'm taking everything to the next level. Yes, I am passionate about it. Yes, I love it. But when I walk forward and I do these things, I'm not just proving it to myself. I'm proving it to you. Know that if I can do this, and I am not magical, I'm not special, there's nothing particularly incredible about me, I follow a series of steps. You know, I figure out what I wanted to do, and I move forward on a daily basis. Anyone can do this. You know, I mean, assuming, when we say anyone, I mean, you know, there's certain basic factors, but in fully developed countries, you got the freedom, you can do it. But it all started. I began to realize it just became a much more powerful thing as soon as I began to give and to give. And it has impacted me in a way I could have never fathomed. I could never have fathomed the manner in which it's impacted my life. I mean, now you're doing interviews and building a blog, and it turns into a business, and now I give speeches. I've now given 2 TEDx speeches about this, and it's growing and growing and growing and impacting more and more people. So,
yeah,
really powerful.
The gratitude list. The one thing I wanted to talk about is that, you know, Brent and I have kind of tried to design things to make them real simple and easy for people to implement. So instead of making it super complex with 1,000 steps in it, we try to boil it down. But there's so many sub-elements underneath there. I think one of the great things about a gratitude list is, you know, you're talking about loving your life. Well, the problem for many people is they don't love themselves. And so doing the gratitude list is a way to love themselves, right? Because a lot of people get in destructive relationships with other people or have destructive interactions. Well, by doing a gratitude list, you're starting to be grateful, and you look at the little things that are happening and realizing how awesome your life is and how awesome you are, and that is loving yourself. And now you are able to enter really healthy relationships with people on many different levels, and that's really important. I think the other one is that you mentioned purpose. And I did an experiment, and I've stopped doing it now because I've talked to more than 100 people on it, and I've asked people, so what's your purpose? And they're random people. They're my friends. I have gotten 0 answers back. Like that when I asked them that they actually know, 0%. It's not even 1. I didn't get 1 person. And I asked, these are all college-educated, graduate-level people that are all very successful in all their fields. I mean, I ask people like that, and I'm like, I get 0. Everyone looks at me, and they have no idea. And they'll come up with maybe some answer, but it's not really an answer. And they'll have to think about it, or they'll come back to me in 15 or 20 minutes later, and they'll grab me. And it's almost as though they've gone through their entire life without ever thinking about what is purpose. Why am I here, and what am I doing in my life? And it's amazing how that question needs to be asked, and how much of a difference it would make, and how many people are just floating through their life every day without any direction. And then they wonder why they end up where they're at. They're like a ship at sea with no compass and nothing, right? Just floating around, hoping, you know, and hope is not a strategy. It's not going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. Gosh, that is a really... It's so powerful. I always think about it as in terms of education, because, you know, stepping away, you know, when I was teaching for a while, when I was a teacher, I taught history, science, and math. And then I left that. I moved to Japan, and in the pursuit of my dream, what has helped me the most is learning, you know, it's personal growth, it's personal development. It's, you know, learning about goal setting, identifying my deeper why behind things, time management, organization, gratitude, all of these things, which are so powerful, you know, even money management skills, these are things that aren't taught. We're not explicitly taught these things in schools, and they're timeless skills. Math, science, these are things that do have a time to them, especially for, you know, science, history. But goal setting, time management, finding our purpose, discovering our passion, these things, which are timeless skills, are not taught. And back then it never occurred to me, but now it blows my mind. I mean, it is taught. It's not taught in our education system. I mean, this is what we're trying to do, this call what you guys do, what I do. We try to teach those things, but it's separate from the actual education institution, which I don't know what it will take to change that, but I do think that's something that has to, I do think it's something that has to change if we do want to see this type of impact on a massive scale.
I agree. We talk about this all the time. Brian, any comment on that? I mean, we've had this conversation many, many, many times.
We do, and that's why it's about collaboration, too. That's why we're so strongly for that in finding others like yourself who have similar messages or maybe slightly different messages but in the same vein, that who, you know, we can band together and we're more powerful as a team out there. But there has to be, you're right, there has to be at some point some social responsibility. Some responsibility by school, education, corporate America, go on, to stop trying to convince humans that they are powerless. Mm-hmm. And that we, you know, you're powerless and we have the answer. And if you just buy this thing, well, then your life will be perfect. Right, if you buy our product. And so, you know, I'm not against, you know, making money and whatever. I'm not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that, you know, at the end, we have to tell people the truth. We have to stop lying to them. And you know, I mean, it's something that we talk about extensively, which is why we're coming out with all these new programs and ideas and trainings for people to help wake them up and help them wake others up and inspire others. And the way to change it is through behavior. If we change our behavior, then, you know, most of the time everyone follows the money. Advertisers follow the money. Corporate America follows the money. So if the real powerful way to do it is to have a movement and to change behavior rather than tell people they're wrong and do all this other stuff. And even though we do some of that sometimes, we say, hey, you know, take responsibility. Stop avoiding it and stop telling people that they're powerless and encourage them. Tell them the real way of being and doing things, not the fake way. Not the fake way that makes them great consumers and makes them fall in line and easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not helping. And we're at a crescendo now where it can't go on that way much longer. It really can't.
Mm.
Because we just have a bunch of unempowered people who are asleep at the wheel and just going through their day. You know, it's just monotony, and they're living very average, mediocre lives, and it's not their fault. It's just something we've done to them as society. So as society, we have to take responsibility, and it's going to start with, you know, these kinds of programs and education, and it's going to start – it's going to have to start with education at younger and younger levels.
Yeah. I think about the students I taught, and if I would have been aware of this concept of, you know, goal setting, time management, identifying your purpose, and the real reason for education, you know, now looking back at it with the student, my focus shouldn't necessarily have been so like, oh, you must do, you know, the science homework for the sake of science homework. It's like, no. You're learning a skill. You're learning how to be disciplined. You're learning how to do things you don't want to do. And those are critical skills to success in life. And you can feel good about that. And there's bigger, deeper skills, but they're often not directly taught. But, I mean, if just being flat out honest about it, I think a big reason that it's not taught is because people don't know it. People are not aware of these things. And because if you're not aware of it, you can't teach it. When I was a teacher, I couldn't teach it. I wasn't aware of it. You know, if you've done all these things, you know, even many people who are in higher positions, a lot of, you know, corporate positions, they're not aware of it. They're not aware. They do think that people are powerless. So their community, they're telling them their truth. It's just wrong.
Yeah, so it is about awareness, right? And that's part of the whole idea the programs that we put together is to just spread that awareness. Again, you know, give people an opportunity to wake up and consider a different perspective, maybe one that strikes a note for them. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, you know, one thing I think would be really interesting for people is to talk about your martial arts training, kind of what you learned through that process, and kind of how to relate to kind of the the bigger picture and see what you're kind of thinking about. Because I think people here will be like, wow, that's – because they're getting kind of a bird's-eye seat and kind of what's going on because you're living it and being it every day.
Yeah. So what I'm doing is a program where it actually started back in the – it actually started in Tokyo, and they did it with the riot police in Tokyo, where the police were required to do this for a year. And it was about 4 to 6 hours of training on a daily basis. And now it's actually been moved. Now do it in Kyoto. So I train in martial arts Monday through Friday, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day. And it's very intense. It's very serious. I walk into the dojo. I get to the dojo every day by 7:30 a.m. I clean the floors, clean the walls, clean the hallways. It's about humility. You know, it's about developing the right mindset to learn. I got to always be ready to learn. And so the second I walk in there, I get the right mindset. And then my training begins promptly at 8 a.m. And it's very intense. The first hour is conditioning. And it's painful. It's difficult. It's hard. But I also know that I have to do that if I want to get where I want to get in my life with martial arts. And it's something that is real deep to me where it's not just the training itself. They're principles that I apply to my life because, and like Sensei says, you have to give 100%. If you don't give, why are you here if you're not giving 100%? Why? You're wasting your time. You can't make up for this. You know, if I don't give 100% now, I can't give 100%. If I give 50% today, I can't give 150% tomorrow and cover it up. It's not a choice. The only way to truly, really bring the power out of this moment is to give 100%. And what I have found most interesting in training on a daily basis is that, first off, I have to always be pushing it to the next level. So what I'm doing today, tomorrow I'm going to have to push it harder. I can't do the same thing tomorrow as I do today. But what's also very interesting is that, I mean, it's a daily growth that I have to do it, and it's showing up every day. And it's not easy, but it also is more joyful. It becomes easier. It becomes easier to push myself to new levels. All right, should I elaborate a little bit more or what, questions?
Yeah, no, go elaborate more. I think I think it's fascinating. People are really going to find it, you know, because they can't get this insight from anyone who's not in it. And someone who's in it, like that serious where you're going through a process where you're, you know, because most people here, if they're doing it, they're going to some place and they're learning from someone. They're not going in and actually being a part of an experience as you are. I mean, it's than that. So it's just.
Well, and they're not immersing themselves in the entire thing and committing to it 100%.
So some of the things that I think, and the principle, it's amazing to me, because, and Sensei says it, Aikido is life. He always says that, which at first you're like, okay, sounds like it's out of a book, but the more I do it, the more I believe it. And for example, the first 2 weeks, we did what's called, they're called Kihon Dosa, which means basic forms, which means we didn't work with any, like, partners or anything. For the first 2 weeks, I mean, actually, the first day of class, for the first hour, we learned how to sit and stand. And that sounds like, wow, that's a little bit absurd and ridiculous. It's not, because there's a very clear way that you need to present yourself and a way to stand and to sit. And if I can't do that right, I can't do my techniques right. It's the basics, the fundamentals. Every single thing counts. And so, and to have that focus, I got to have the mental focus to always be so present and so fair that even when I'm sitting, I'm doing it correctly. And when I stand, I do it correctly. And if I can have that type of mental focus, then when it comes to the technique, then I can be even more focused. You know, but if I'm going to bring a half-hearted game to sitting and standing, then it's going to transfer out into my technique, and that's real life. If I'm going to, with my business, if I'm going to half-heartedly write or half-heartedly respond to emails, I'm not going to impact anyone's life. I'm not going to really have the bigger result. I need to sit down and focus on the details. I need to make sure I got all my periods and commas in place. No misspelled words, even though I still mess that up sometimes. I try really hard not to. You got to have the fundamentals in place. And then from there, and also the thing that I love is we practice the fundamentals every day. And Sensei says, if you want to get your technique better, you have to always practice the fundamentals. So the fundamentals are the key. So you never stop practicing those things. And to me, those are like principles. Those are what do I stand for? You know, integrity, humility, discipline. And so it's I feel really like I go into this dojo every day, and it's like a seminar to me where it's like, all right, we're going to teach you these things, but we're going to put you to the test. I mean, it's easy for anyone to say, like, oh, you got to go all in. You've got to push yourself. But when my body's in a position, my lower back is aching and my thighs are burning, sensei comes up to me and he just pushes me a little bit further. He says, and then he tells me to relax. It always makes me laugh. He, like, pushes you down further. I'm sweating. Like, my body's aching. And then he goes, relax. But that's also life where, you know, if I want to take it to the next level, that's what I have to do. And it's also finding relaxation. He always says Aikido is finding relaxation in stressful and challenging situations. And that's life, you know, to be able to do that and to find the joy in it, to find the purpose in that. It touches my heart, and it just transfers to all. I see it transfers into all areas of my life.
Finding comfortableness within uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then understanding that once you're comfortable, once again, you have to be uncomfortable once again for the next level. And then you can step and repeat. And you just keep going. So that's fascinating. Those are great lessons.
I love it. Yeah. Like, one other question for you on that. So when you see people failing or having a lot of problems in what you're doing there, I mean, what is there any typical things that happen around that? Or, I mean, I'd just love to give an example, because I think people would really find it interesting seeing when people don't really aren't successful there, what are they doing? Are they not giving 100%? Are they not focused? Or
yeah, you're talking about specifically like in Aikido?
Yes.
Are you talking about it? Yeah. So I'd say actually that what hurts people the most is their own thoughts. Is where they become, they expect perfection, because at Aikido, and they kind of like, so it's like you try the technique, and you know, this is an art that you give your life to, and so it takes years. I mean, to master 30 years, you're still learning. So when I step forward to do it, of course I'm going to make mistakes, but what I see where people messing up the most is when they do it, and they were just shown it, and then they're doing it. It's like, okay, this is, maybe they've been doing it for 3 weeks, a month, and then they start to get down on themselves, like, why don't I get it? Why isn't it working? And it's like, nah, like, you got to learn. Like, if you met, that's great. You know, you're trying it, and then you're learning how to do it, because it's very psychological. And it's like, nah, just, it's about progress. It's about getting better. And, you know, I think that relates just out into real life. So many people, it's like, they just try it once and they expect it to be perfect. You know, all of a sudden they develop a skill and they want to result after one day. And it's like, nah, just, you know, take it and accept that, like, okay, I don't quite get it. Now, let me listen to the experts. Let's just someone who knows what they're talking about, you know, sensei, explain it. And then with humility, okay, all right, that's what I was, all right, let me try. I'm going to make it a little bit better this time. And so I'd say it's the biggest thing I see holding people back, really, is when they start to get down on themselves and expecting perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, your thoughts will hold you back. A lot of this stuff, and we always talk about it, how inner work is so important. And, you know, I would say whether it's with working out and with a bunch of other stuff, even people who train, you know, to be elite members of the military and stuff, 80% of it's mental.
Mm.
You know, 20% of it is physical. 80% is mental. It's not the biggest and strongest guys that always make it through. Those are often the guys who drop out because they have a false sense of, you know, outer versus inner. And so it is those thoughts. They're very, very powerful. And that's another thing, you know, people don't realize how powerful their thoughts are. They think they're just thoughts. They've had their whole life. You know, you've got an inner voice. You know, you don't think, well, how important could it be? Right, I'm not like talking to someone else. I'm talking to myself. But it's that mental toughness that you have, and those thoughts are, wow, they're controlling everything in your body.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts are I mean, yes, there. I mean, it's a dialogue. You know, we're having a conversation
yep.
with ourselves on a constant day to day basis. So it's, you know, it's like, here, I'm talking with you guys. You know, this is an enjoyable conversation. You know, it's like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I like that. So then, you know, after this conversation, I walk away and I feel more excited. If we were to have an opposite conversation where we all talked about how much our life sucked, how we can't do anything, and how nothing is possible, and, you know, the government will save us someday, maybe, and we focus on that, then I walk away feeling helpless. And it's no different than a dialogue in our heads. You know, it's a conversation, and
yeah,
it's very,
love it.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal. View your challenges as opportunities. I mean, and then everything changes, and it's all your focus. It's all about your story, and that's what people do, and that's what we say, change your story, because then you go back and you keep moaning and complaining. And it's like when I see people out getting together and they're moaning and complaining about this thing or that, the group of people, I'm always bridging to some other topic. I'm always doing whatever I can to change, because that just creates all this negativity around you, and why not change it to being something positive? Because then your thoughts will create actions, and then positive things will start to happen in your life. And it's so powerful. And everything that you do, it all comes down to your thoughts at some level.
Yeah. And, Izzy, do you have some favorite kind of, tough love-like thing that you say to people when they're complaining about their life and they're, you know, not committed and not taking action and telling you that they're the victim and so on? What's, do you have a favorite thing that you...
Well, what I like to say, I mean, you know, talk, you know, it's a kind of a case-by-case basis, but in general, especially when they're giving me all sorts, you know, I can't do this and this and this, and I'll just say, you know, oh, that's great. What do you mean it's great? It's great. Well, what do you mean I can't do this and this? No, that's great, because you just identified what you need to learn. And because it's developing a mindset that you can learn anything. Because a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, well, I can't do that because I don't have any money. Oh, that's great. What do you mean it's great? I don't have money. No, we just identified your next step. You need to either do one thing. You either need to make more money or start saving money. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, oh, that's even better. Now we know exactly you need to learn how to do that. So let's talk about that. Let's break it down. And so it's really kind of nailing down where it's putting a spin on it, where it's like, oh, if it's negative, oh, well, that's great, because now we actually have steps to move us forward. You know, because I'm a big believer of, I always tell, you know, failure is beautiful. I love failure. And the reason failure is beautiful is because, one, it's evidence that I'm taking risks and giving myself an opportunity to succeed, because you cannot succeed unless you put yourself out there to potentially fail. And two,
right.
It's great feedback, because, you know, it's like, okay, well, if I'm failing, then I now know, okay, well, I need to change something. I need to adjust. I need to learn. I need to, you know reflect, adjust, act.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from failure, the most, actually, from that, more than success, for sure. And so you're absolutely right. If you're not failing at all, then you're not putting yourself out there enough. You got to put yourself out there and take larger risks.
Yeah. What's your guys' go-to line? Is it change your story?
Well, it's change your story. I like to just say, you know, stop complaining about your life. You're not really the victim, you know. really, great. Is that your story right there? You know, that's what you're going with that? Really? Cool. How's that working for you?
Really?
You know, it's like, you know, a lot of times now I'll just say stop. Stop the madness.
Yeah,
I've heard enough. I've just heard enough of the whining and complaining about how everyone else is to blame, and you're not. Just stop. Let it go. And you need to switch your purpose. Because right now it's all about what can you get? How can you feel better? All about, like you were saying earlier, me. What can I get? And nowhere in there did I hear anything about what you're going to give or how you're going to help others. And if you just continue down that road, then you're always going to be complaining about your life. Plus, you know, then we just go into, you know, you're making yourself the victim. You're not really the victim. You're keeping yourself the victim, that kind of thing, because that's what most people do. They just keep themselves the victim. There's always something that happened, but then they use that for like 20 years to keep themselves the victim when they're no longer being victimized. And it's a responsibility thing. You take responsibility for it and choose what your life is going to be like. and let it go. Really just be carefree about it. Let it go. Let it go. Move on.
You can let it go now. When would now be a good time to let it go? You know, we always say that, people, you know. And I think it really happens because it's your story. It's, you know, it's what happened in the story you tell yourself. And I think it's extremely powerful. We just talked to someone who's really leading in PTSD, and all her research was that the problem is the story that people are telling themselves, right? It's not the facts. And when you actually go into what's around it, a lot of things had been self-created around it and self-perpetuated that didn't even happen. And they created all this. And so I think we see this in every area of our life in doing it. So you create these stories of your life as well that never really happened, and then you imagine it, and then you create that identity, and then you really unwind it. You realize it didn't matter. It didn't really even happen. You just
right. It, so. It didn't happen like you imagined it over time and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can talk yourself into anything. You talk yourself into, you know, oh, I need 20 more years of therapy before I'm cured. Or you can just cure yourself, right? And definitely teachers and coaches play into that and have a responsibility to tell you that as well. So we encourage them all to say, look, you know, I often tell people, look, you don't really need any more coaching with me, right? Which is a brave thing for a coach to say. Yeah. But you could make the decision right now to let this go while you're on the phone with me, right now. Now, you might not, but you could. You have the power right now. You have everything you need. You don't need another word from me.
Mm.
You could choose it right now. And I think that it blows people away sometimes because they've been taught that they know they need to read like 8,000 more books and go to 800 seminars and take a lot of coaching and spend $1 million on it and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've spent money educating myself and personal growth, of course. But I'm just saying that, you know, they tell themselves a story that they, you know, need all that and that, they're trying to fit in and all this kind of stuff and when they could really just let it go at any moment. I think they do get caught up in the how and the why a lot too sometimes, rather than just, you know, who cares how and why, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you could take a deep breath right now, count to 10, let it go. You really can.
Yeah.
You know, either way, that'll help what I just told you to do, you know. Let it go, you know, even if it comes back, you know, you could choose to let it go and let it be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can choose to let it go and let it come back. Again, it's a choice.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people get, you know, caught up and attached to the process. Even though the process can be enjoyable and you can learn more from the process than your original goal that you're trying to, you know, get to. But anyway.
It reminds me, you had mentioned earlier in this conversation about how when you begin to move forward with conviction and when you're really willing to do those things, all of a sudden doors open up. So I think that sometimes when people get so caught up on this, how do I do it? And that's why I always say, you know, okay, figure out where you want to go and do step one. Because you actually need to train our brains and train ourselves to start to develop a mindset of trusting that we'll figure it out. And when the step arises, and it really does, it just blows my mind. It's amazing. Even, you know, when I was giving this TEDx speech last time and I was putting together my presentation, I was like, I want this presentation to be so much better than my last one. I'm like, I don't really know how to do this. I don't know how to put together the speaking. I'm totally comfortable with myself, the presentation. I'm like, I want this to be a lot better than my last one. How do I do it? And then I just remind myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to learn. How am I going to learn? By doing. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down. I'm just going to do it. And that's exactly what I did. And as I did it more and more, it became more and more clear and like, oh, okay, I'll try this and this. And it, I mean, you know, depending on your one, you know, you can do it however you want, you know, your spiritual beliefs or however, but it's that it just like, it's like it just came as I moved forward. And it,
yes.
And it happens on a much larger scale when we begin to actually dare to move forward with our purpose and our dreams, where it's like, I just use my example. I mean, it's crazy to think, okay, I'm a former middle school teacher from America. I'm in the middle of getting my master's degree in education. I'm going to quit all this. I'm going to move to Japan to become a ninja. That's what I'm going to do. Well, how are you going to do that? What is it? I mean, how's that going to affect anyone? That's such a selfish dream. You're quitting it, all these kids that you're impacting. You're just going to move to Japan and go just do martial arts all the time. That's just for you. And that, and initially it kind of, I wouldn't say it was fully that. I mean, I do believe, you know, to give back, I got to be a happy person. But now, and just doing that, the doors that have opened, now I impact people on in a way that I never could have fathomed back then. And it just happened. It just, the doors opened up that, you know, in ways I never could have fathomed. And it's moving, it's progress. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing stuff how this all can work out. So.
Yeah, we always talk about leap of faith, too. I mean, that's the other thing that you're mentioning right there. You have to be willing to take a leap of faith. And we find that people that get it and are being it can consistently take leaps of faith, and it's just part of who they are. And they don't need to convince. They don't need to create and build all this evidence. They realize they're creating in the moment, and they can take these leaps of faith. And then success in their own life becomes contagious, and they can inspire people, and they have massive transformation in all parts of their life and everyone and everything that they touch. And then you just see these magnificent things happening around you. And great.
I love the leap of faith. It's an interesting question. What I'll do sometimes when I'm talking with clients, or I talk about it on my blog, is, hey, well, do you want to be courageous? Do you want to be a courageous person? Everybody wants to be courageous. Yeah, I want to be courageous. All right. Does this scare you? Yeah. All right. Well, courage is moving forward in the face of fear. If you're not scared, then it's not courage. So by taking action right now, well, I don't know, I'm just so scared. Well, that's great, because now that means you have to be even more courageous to do it. And the only way you can be courageous is to ask for, to move forward in the face of fear. And that's also the leap of faith, where, you know, especially when I started this whole journey, when I first began it, you know, to move to Japan, I think that was a leap of faith. But I think it was a bigger one when I first was like, I'm going to share this story with the world and really go all in, because I had there was no reason for me to believe, well, I could share this with the world and all of a sudden have such a positive response. It was really just like, I didn't know how to start a blog. I didn't even know what WordPress really was at that point in time. I was like, well, I know I've heard about it. And it's like, to do that and then to build it, and then to just go forward and just like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this and trust that I can learn it at each step of the way. And each step of the way, I mean, I didn't know there was this crazy martial arts shugyo, you know, 1,000 hours in a year. I didn't know that existed. I didn't move to Japan aware of any of these things, but all of a sudden forward and these doors open up that it's like, three, 4 years ago, I said to myself, well, Izzy, what do you really want to do? Well, what I really want to do is move to a foreign country and just train martial arts until my body aches. But that's not possible. That's what I said at the time. Well, but that's not possible. I was like, you know what? I just ended up just taking steps. And now, I mean, my life, you know, I wake up at 5 a.m, you know, I read, I reflect, do these things. And then by 7:30 a.m, I'm at the dojo. So I'm at the dojo, and I'm training, and I train so my body aches. I'm doing exactly what I had thought was like, oh, how can you do that 4 years ago? And it's really, it's wild.
You're living it. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Brent, do you have anything else? Do you have anything else?
Oh, boy, I think we've
covered a lot
today, and I think we've given our listeners a lot of insight and a lot of things to ponder and think about, and hopefully some insights and some aha moments and some things to take away and take action on immediately, which is what I suggest you do. Anything that you wrote down, you could listen to this several times and do that. So, I think we're good. And Izzy, I want to thank you for taking the time. And if you're busy becoming a ninja schedule. And we definitely want to hear more about that. But speaking of that, how can people get a hold of you or see what you're up to? Where would you like them to go? And if there's a project that you are working on right now, you're welcome to talk about that as well.
Okay. Excellent. Before I do that, I just want to throw this out to the listeners. This conversation that we just had, it can be something that, you know, it could inspire you, but we don't just want that. What we want is for this to impact your life. And the only way for it to impact your life is for this to change something that you're currently doing. And it doesn't have to be changing a million things. It just has to change one thing. So if you can just choose one thing from everything you've heard and say, I'm going to do this. This is how it's going to affect my life. And then do it. Then this becomes a powerful conversation in your life. Otherwise, it's just another thing you listen to. And so run with it. Choose a step and run with it. And then, so in terms of finding me, you can come over to my blog, which is 30yearoldninja.com, and that's the number. So 30, the number, then yearoldninja.com. And so you can do that. You can shoot me an email if there's certain specific questions that you have, izzy@30yearoldninja.com. I'm really good with email, so I love connecting with people. And then in terms of current projects that I'm working on, you know, I do coaching. I work with people one-on-one to help them turn their dream into reality. And that's always a custom system based on what people's needs are. And then what I'm also working on currently is a course. It's called Achieve the Impossible. And that is where I run through the process with people. It's looking like it's going to be about 12 weeks, 12 different lessons, where we really break down the process to help a person identify what they want and to turn it into a reality and how to live it on a daily basis. And I'm really excited about that, putting in a lot of work for that. And then also a little bit down the road is an ebook. That's going to be the next project I'll be working on, where I share my story and share it to encourage and inspire people to be able to follow their dreams.
Nice.
Awesome.
Awesome. That's great. Any last thing, Jason?
I think it's great. Thank you, Izzy, for taking the time doing this. It's wonderful to be able, with all this technology, be talking across the globe and across the there. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's it.
Yeah, okay. So all of you listeners out there, I want to thank you for joining us. If you know someone who would benefit by listening to this, please feel free to share it with them. Maybe they will have an insight, and maybe this will be a conversation that will impact their life as well. And if you want to know what we're up to, you can always come over to BrentSmithLifestyle.com and check that out. Okay, so thanks again, Izzy. Thanks for being here, and we will talk to you all later.